ఓం శాంతి. ఓం శాంతి. ఓం శాంతి. దిస్ మంత్ర ఆఫ్ ఓం శాంతి ఈజ్ అ మ్యాజికల్ మంత్ర. దిస్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు స్పీక్ ఆన్ టుడే. When Brahmins meet each other, how do we meet each other? How do we meet each other? How do Brahmins meet each other? First of all, we meet each other with drishti. Drishti. Seeing each other as a soul. The soul seated at the center of the forehead. So through drishti, we recognize each other as souls. And then we say Om Shanti. That's how we address each other. In the world also, people, when they meet each other, they have eye contact. And then they greet each other with hello, hi, shake hands. In India, there are different systems too. Usually in India, the gesture is like this. We say namaste. In the Western world, they will shake hands and say hello and hi. How do you do? How was the day? And so on. But we as Brahmins meet each other with drishti first and then Om Shanti. Giving this awareness to each one that I am a peaceful soul, and the other one responding, I am a peaceful soul. So in this way, when we greet each other, we see each other as peaceful souls. And when we see each other as peaceful souls, what happens? The magic happens. If there are any grudges, any jealousy, any hatred, any weakness which I would otherwise see of the other one. But when I say Om Shanti, see that person as a soul, I forget all that. And I see the other one as a peaceful soul. So the first magic this mantra does is change the very consciousness. Actually, that's what it is meant for. It's meant to be that when we see each other, we should not think of the past grudges or past things, whatever has happened. But be in the present and give the good wishes to that soul. Have pure feelings for that soul by saying Om Shanti. And when we say that, the mind becomes peaceful. So this mantra, actually it is meant to make us be stabilized in our state of peace. It's not meant just for the sake of saying. You know, many people say Om Shanti just for the sake of saying, because they have to say something, so they say Om Shanti. It's not like that. Because the word mantra has a very deep meaning. Om Shanti has a very deep meaning too, but this mantra of Om Shanti, when we say mantra, the word mantra has a very deep meaning too. What does this word mantra mean? Mantra is a Sanskrit word. And in Sanskrit, this word mantra has two meanings. One meaning is, it's an advice. Mantra means an advice. And the one who gives this mantra an advice, he is called mantri, advisor. In the earlier days, there used to be mantris who were the advisors to the kings. The kings always took advice from their mantris, their ministers, but they were called advisors. Baba says in golden age, silver age, there are no mantris, no advisors. Because the kings there are very intelligent and they are very powerful souls, so they don't need advice from anyone. So mantra literally means an advice. And the one who gives this advice is called the mantri. And when we take it in spiritual terms, it means an advice given by the intellect to the mind. It's an internal advice which the intellect gives to the mind. Because mind has many thoughts. So many thoughts come in the mind, but all thoughts are not brought into practical form. So which thought to bring into action, for that the intellect decides, what we call as the inner voice of the soul. The inner voice is always deciding what is to be done. It's always understanding what is wrong and what is right, and it gives the right advice to the mind. But sometimes the mind does not obey the advice of the intellect. It follows the advice of the senses. The senses give advice to the mind. Like when there is somebody wants to eat some sweet, the sense of taste will say, come on, eat it. The intellect may say, no, don't eat. It's not good for your health. But the sense organ of tongue will say, the taste buds will say, no, eat it, it's good for you. You like sweets, so eat it. And so on. So maybe the senses don't give the right advice. But the mind, if it's pulled by the senses, it takes the advice of the senses. But if the mind is under control by the soul, it means it takes advice from the intellect, and thereby the intellect decides what the mind has to think. So mantra means an advice given by the intellect to the mind. And the mind thinks accordingly, and the subconsciousness is awakened. The self gets that awareness of who am I. And this very word Om has also a very deep meaning. It is comprised of three alphabets, A, U, Ma, A, U, M, when we write in English. And in Hindi, this is A, and this is U, and this is Ma. Thus, the moon with the star. So, A, U, Ma. And it starts by opening the mouth, Om, and then ends by closing the mouth. Om. So it's like going round the whole cycle, completing the cycle, A-U-M. When you say Ma, you go inside again. You start from inside and then end up inside. Usually when people blow conches, even they give that sound, Om. So it means really, literally it means I am. Or A Uma, that is me. So what is that which is me? Peace. So the soul tells itself, I am a peaceful soul. And they say this is the first alphabet, the first word which God used when He created the world. the sound, the first original sound is the sound of Om. That's what is said in the scriptures. So when Shiv Baba started this yajna, the first word Baba uttered through the mouth of Brahma was Om. And you know, in the earlier days in the yajna, when Baba used to chant Om, so many sisters who would be sitting in the gathering would go into trance just by hearing this chanting of Om. That's the magical word. They would go deep inside Om. And some of them would take even longer, you know, to finish Om. So it would be like being breathless too. But in that one breath, they would say Om. One of our senior dadis, Manohar Indra Dadi, who was the director of Gyan Sarovar before Nirmala Didi took over, she was one of the old dadis. She used to say it so beautifully for so long, so long. And in the earlier days, this was the main thing uttered at the beginning. And therefore many people, they called this gathering, you know, the sisters used to gather in Brahma Baba's house. They used to call it Om Mandali. Mandali means gathering. So the gathering in which everyone chants Om. So, but then this is not merely for chanting, but this is for realizing that I am a peaceful soul. The intellect tells the mind, you are a peaceful soul, you are a peaceful soul. So one meaning of mantra is an advice given by the intellect to the mind by and making it become aware and then realize that it is a peaceful soul. And the second meaning of mantra is also very beautiful. The mantra word, it comprises of two words, man and tra. So in Sanskrit, you know, each alphabet has a different meaning. Just not just words, but even alphabets. Meaning of a is different, meaning of na is different, meaning of ka is different, you know. It's very interesting. So when we say Om, when the word mantra is used, it comprises of two words, man and tra. So man means the mind. And tra is an alphabet, which means contentment, satisfaction, consolation, you know, tranquility, fulfillment, so many meanings. This one alphabet tra has. So it is the contentment in the mind, or fulfillment of the mind. So when the mind is content, it's full, it's complete, it is filled with peace. So that is a mantra. Now this could be any word too, because if you are having thoughts of peace, it's a mantra, because you are enabling the mind to become tranquil. It could be not just thoughts of peace, it could also be thoughts of power, it could be any type of thoughts. Thoughts of love, thoughts of happiness, thoughts of bliss. Because whatever you think, that you become. That is why it is said that if you think you are peaceless, you say, I am a very peaceless person, then no one in the world can make you peaceful. Because it's all in the mind. So if you think you are peaceless, then nobody can make you peaceful. But the reverse of it is that if you think I am a peaceful soul, then no one can make you peaceless. No one can make you peaceless, because in your awareness, this thought is there that I am a peaceful soul, and that awareness you are giving to yourself. So even if they cause sorrow, they cause pain, but it won't affect you because you are aware that I am a peaceful soul. So no one can make you peaceless. And therefore Baba says three times, Om Shanti. When I say I am a peaceful soul, my father is the ocean of peace and my home is the abode of peace, then where is the question of being peaceless? It's like somebody who has a lot of money in the bank, and secondly his father too is a very, very rich man, and he has palatial houses, lots of land, lots of property. So lots of money, lots of property, and father a very big man with lots of everything. How can he ever say that he is poor? I mean, how can he call himself poor? But if he calls himself poor, means he is not aware that he has all that. And therefore Baba says, today we have forgotten it. We have forgotten that we are peaceful beings. And that awareness has to come from inside. Every soul is sleeping in the slumber of ignorance. That awareness that I am a peaceful soul is not there. And every soul is going away from its original nature. And that is why the stress is there. If we would go according to our original nature of peace, there would be no question of stress. Stress is because I'm going against my nature. You know, like if there's a wind blowing and if the ship is going towards the wind, it will flow so smoothly, because the sails will automatically help the ship to move on, the boat to move on. But if it is going against the wind, then it has to struggle a lot. The same goes with aeroplanes. You know, in aeroplanes also they say which side is the wind moving. And if it is going with the wind, it's going so smoothly. But if it's going against the wind, then there's also turbulence, you know, and then a lot of stress. So if we are going according to our true nature, then everything is so easy, so peaceful. We say everything has its own nature, everything. Its original nature, even matter, nature, has its own nature. That's why it is called nature. Every part of nature has its own nature. In a sense, for example, fire. Fire has its nature of heat and light. If there's no heat, no light, it's not called fire. No? How can you have, you call something fire and no heat and no light in it? Fire means light and heat, and that is its nature. The nature of water is coolness. If water is very, very hot, boiling hot, although you may call it water, but there is an addition of fire in it. That is why it has become hot. But in its original nature, water is very cool. And if you remove the fire, allow the water to stay without that fire, it will become cool automatically. The heat will go out. So it is a natural process whereby the heat goes out. You don't have to make effort to allow the heat to go out. It goes out on its own because it's not its true nature, heat in the water. It's meant to be cool. Sometimes we lower the temperature, it becomes ice. It's still water, but then the temperature, the original temperature of the water has been lowered to such an extent that the water solidifies. But again you leave it, however cold it may be, but again it will turn into water. So that's nature. So fire has its own nature, water has its own nature, air, breeze has its own nature. It's meant to flow, it's meant to blow, it's meant to move on. You know, sometimes you go to a place where you don't feel any air. No leaf is moving and you say, oh, today looks like there's no air at all. Everything is so lifeless. So no air, air means something which is making things move. And when it's not really moving, you say, oh, everything is so lifeless. Of course it is there, but then it's not moving enough. The speed is not there. Well, that, again, the speed of wind can be very, very high too, and then that becomes a storm. So anything, nature in its, if it's in its original state, it's very pacifying. It's giving peace, it's giving happiness. And therefore, for all the five elements, it is said that they are very good servers, but very bad masters. Fire is a very good servant. Without heat, you can't survive. If it becomes minus 50 degrees, minus 80 degrees, I can imagine how can humans survive in that. So fire is a good servant. If it's giving the right temperature, then we survive. We enjoy. But it's a very bad master. If there is fire, break out, everything catches fire and it's all burned down. So much disaster, so much destruction. The same thing goes with every part of nature. Too much wind, it will just blow houses, the rooftops, the trees, everything, and do so much destruction. And Baba says at the end, all the five elements will do destruction. Sometimes only one element destroys. For example, only earth. So we say earthquake. Only one element is working. Sometimes two elements work. Two elements, water and earth. So there's an earthquake underneath the sea. And then there's tsunami. So even water creates havoc after the earthquake. In Japan, there were three elements which worked at the same time. First there was an earthquake, and then there was a tsunami, and then there was fire. Fire in the atomic reactors, you know that story. So three ways destruction took place when Japan earthquake happened. But what if all the five elements create havoc? So earth, water, fire. Then what if there would have been a very strong wind also? So any remaining houses would have been destroyed. And there was fear that if there would be rain also, as well as lightning thundering from the sky, and that rain, which had air which had radioactivity because of the nuclear the reactors burning, if that would have happened, then that radioactivity would have gone into the water, and the result would have been all the fishes would have died. Human beings would have died, because the air would take all the radioactivity around and kill. So if all the five elements work and create destruction, what will happen? Can you imagine? It's only one element. If it destroys, it brings so much destruction. But they are very good servants. In golden age, Baba says, nature is a very good servant. It's serving you all the time. It's not a mad master, but at the end of Kali Yuga, it has become a very bad master. And we say it is a return of all our bad karma. Whatever karma we are doing which are not right, then how nature punishes us. In the form of physical ailments, in the form of diseases, and what not in nature. And therefore we experience sorrow. And therefore Baba says, give peace also to nature. Sit and give vibrations to nature. And pacify nature as well. In Bharat, there is one very big speciality. We speak of many gods and goddesses, 330 million gods and goddesses. But in those goddesses, or amongst those goddesses, even nature, the five elements also are gods. fire is a god, fire god, earth god, you know, everything is god. And why they are called god? Because a deity. Why they are called deity? Because a deity means the one who is always giving, always giving. So this nature is meant to give, to give, to give all the time. It takes, like the earth takes only one seed, but so many fruits it gives. So many fruits. And therefore we say nature is next to God. That's why people worship nature. Because like God is always the bestower, giving, giving all the time. So too nature is always giving, always giving. And there's a very beautiful song on this. The river never drinks its own water, you know, the river flows. But it is for the people, for animals, for birds. But the river will not drink its own water. The trees don't eat their own fruit. The trees don't eat the fruit, they only give. So river never drinks its own water, trees never eat their fruit, they're only giving. So to human beings, and this is why they are called gods, the deities, all parts of nature. Similarly, if human beings are always giving, then they are also like God. So we're all gods and goddesses, and in golden age everyone is giving. There's no thought of taking or wanting, no desires, because everything is in plentitude. So that is the original nature of nature. And if nature is going in its original form, then there is so much of happiness. But that is possible only when the master is really having mastery over his subservience or his servants. For example, the soul is the master, and this body, the senses, the five elements, they are the servers. So if the soul, the master, is controlling the senses well, then we say this world is a heaven, it's golden age. But when the servers become the masters and they control the master, then this world is a hell. Like we say, if the driver is controlling the car, then driving is a game, a sport. It is fun, it is joy. But if the car begins to control the driver, the brake fails, or the axle breaks, or whatever happens, then the car starts controlling the driver. The driver loses its control. Control over the car, and that's chaos, suffering, death, destruction. So that's what's happening in Kali Yuga. So we all should go according to our true nature. Nature teaches us that, and Baba also says the true nature of the soul is peace. So always I have to tell myself, I am a peaceful soul, I am a peaceful soul. And when I say this to myself, I will feel tranquil. So the intellect is giving advice to the mind, you are a peaceful soul, and the mind feels fulfilled. So that is what this mantra of Om Shanti does. But sometimes what happens is that we misuse this word Om Shanti. I'll tell you a joke on this, a very interesting joke. Once somebody came to me and said, "Sister, I get very angry, you know, I can't control my anger. It's very difficult to control anger. So give me some mantra so that I can control my anger." So I told him, "Okay, whenever you get angry at that time, tell yourself, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, and your anger will go." And he accepted this advice, and when he went home, the moment he reached home, his wife complained about something. And he said, "Om Shanti, Om Shanti." Then when he went further, his mother was there and she complained something different, you know, and then said, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Then his neighbor complained something, Om Shanti. Then his son said something, Om Shanti. You can imagine what happened. The intensity of Om Shanti increased. And where was the peace? So first Om Shanti softly, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. You know, sometimes Dadi Janki makes us say so loudly. Well, that is to wake up everybody, you know, so that everybody becomes alert. But then when you are talking to individuals, you don't have to shout like that. But then what happens, because inside my anger is not gone, but externally I am saying Om Shanti. So what will happen? I will say it very loudly. But in this way my anger will not quieten, no? It will not go. So it's not just merely saying in words. We have to become the embodiment of that. This is what Baba said the other day. Become a form of that Om Shanti. I am a peaceful being. So actually, thoughts which the intellect gives the mind, this is the mantra. There are many stories on this. You know, in India, many Loki gurus, they give a mantra to the disciple in the year. And they say that, don't tell this to anyone. And you have to chant this whenever you find time. You chant this mantra. So they don't tell anybody what mantra the guru gave them, but they just keep chanting, that's all. And they remain peaceful by chanting that mantra. But then, it can be anything, you know. And usually the guru will tell in the years. And usually he may not even tell the meaning of it. What that word means, which the mantra, it's a word. Or it's a sentence, it's a phrase. And that's given in the years. And that person is told to keep chanting inside. But then there are many stories about this. And how whatever I'm putting in, I'm feeding myself with in my thoughts, that affects my stage and I become that. That is why they said, as you think, so you become. You are what you think. You are not what you eat. You are not what you wear. You are not what you do, but you are what you think. Because wearing part, eating part, doing part is a hardware which we do through the body. But what I think, what I feel, what I visualize, what I imagine, you know, all these are subtle things. That is a software. Actually, that's what I am. The soft part, not the hard part. Because hard part can keep changing. Today I may say that I'm young, but after 50 years I will be old. I'll become old, not that I won't. So the changes are always coming in the body. But that soft part, the thinking part, can be in childhood, that same thinking even in old age. The sanskars may continue whole life. And therefore, I am that soft part which is eternal. The hard part keeps changing. Clothes I change. I wear different clothes for different occasions. I do so much work from morning till night. But doesn't mean that I become that. I'm cooking, so doesn't mean I'm a cook. I'm gardening, doesn't mean I'm a gardener. I'm cleaning, doesn't mean I'm a cleaner. But I may be even a big director of a company, but at home I'm doing all this gardening and cleaning and cooking, whatnot. Doesn't mean I become that. But doesn't even mean that I'm a director. So all these are different roles I'm playing. So they keep changing. Even in relationships, the relationships keep on changing. In every birth, relationships are changing. So all these are the hard part, the physical part, which keep changing. But the soft part, my thinking part, my visualizing part, even my imagining part, my understanding part, what the mind and intellect and sanskars do, that is the true me. That is the real me. But my, in that too, the real me is my original sanskar, my original thoughts, my original intellect. And if I am acting accordingly, then the soul is in that state of peace. But if I am not in my original state, I am going against my nature, then there is chaos, suffering, stress, tension in the mind. And therefore when we say Om Shanti, it acts like a magical mantra, because I am becoming aware of my true self. So it's not merely for the sake of saying. You know, very many people, it's interesting how they keep saying this Om Shanti. I'm supposing I'm walking and somebody wants to talk to me. So from behind, say, Om Shanti sister, Om Shanti. And I have to look behind, who's calling me? Om Shanti, Om Shanti. It's not actually royalty to call somebody from behind and say, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. You have to come in front, no? To say. Otherwise, the person to whom you are calling has to look back to see who is calling him. They don't know the name. But they just say, Om Shanti, and we have to look back, who is calling me, you know, we are distracted. And even that's not good. But Om Shanti means first looking, giving a glance or coming in front, giving drishti, and then saying Om Shanti. Then that really works. It's not if I want somebody's attention to be drawn towards me, I will say Om Shanti. Now, very many people are very strange. Supposing two people are speaking, and the third person, now he also wants to say something. He will just come and say, Om Shanti. Now, they are talking. Why should the third person come and interfere? They are already busy in their conversation. But they think, they say, Om Shanti, and this way maybe distract the conversation going on between the two people. Okay, he can come in front, he can stand, and then the other person will look at him and then maybe say Om Shanti. So this is really royalty, is it not? But when we say Om Shanti without even any meaning also, because we think it's a real mantra. So it's not meant for chanting, it's not meant for saying again and again, but actually it is meant for becoming an embodiment of the intellect, telling the mind again and again, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? There are many stories in the scriptures too, and even otherwise they tell many stories. There's one interesting story about a king, and that king, he announced in his kingdom that there's a very big rock here, big rock, and I need a strong man who can, with just one hammer, break this into two pieces. And I need a strong muscle man who can break this rock into two pieces with just one hammer. Well, many muscle men came and tried to break that rock, but they could not, you know, it was very hard. And then at the end, one thin, skinny, very lean person came, and he said that he would try to break the rock. So the people standing close by, they started laughing at him. How can this man break? He doesn't even have a single muscle. I mean, he's not so strong, and how can he break? He said, the king has a condition that it should be broken with just one stroke. I will follow that condition, but I also have a condition. If the king follows that condition or accepts that condition, then I will try. So the king said, okay. Because the king said, the one who can break this rock with one stroke, I will give half of my kingdom to him. You know, that was what he announced. So many people came, nobody could do it. But this lean man said, my condition is that I'll carry the hammer in my hand and somebody will say something in my ears. He will say something in my ears, and that's it. That is only for me what he'll say, but I will take the hammer and strike it, and with one stroke I will break this rock. So the king said, okay, fine, it doesn't matter to me, but my condition is that it should break with one stroke. Okay, then he brought another man, and then at that time somebody was saying something in his ears. And as he was hearing this person, so much strength came in him. And from where he got that strength, that willpower, although he was so lean and so skinny, you know, so weak looking, but with that one stroke he could break the rock. So the king was also surprised. How did he get that strength? Then he said, what mantra did that man give you in your ear? Because it was that mantra which worked, which he gave in his ear. So that was a magical mantra, what that another person told him in his ear, which gave him that strength. So you know what he said? He said, this man, what he told me in my ear was, his name, whatever, he said, become aware of who you are. You are the, you know, he was a Rajput. Rajputs were the Kshatriyas, the soldiers, the army men. You know, they used to go to the battlefront. Rajputs they were called. So you are a Rajput. And Rajputs had, this was a sect or a group or caste, whatever you may call it. They were very strong, internally very powerful. And they would face the enemy very bravely, which was not possible for any ordinary person. So they were very brave. But they had two great aims in life. One was that whatever they said, they always did it. It was never that if they said something and did something else. That is why it is said, you know, in Baba's Murlis also it is said that if you keep a promise, you must keep up to that promise. Even if you have to die, doesn't matter, but don't break your promise. So they were like that, the Rajputs. Whatever they said, they always did it. This was one of their greatest bravery. They never gave excuses. They would not mind dying, but, I mean, not go against their promise. And the second thing was that whenever they faced any enemy, they had that aim that either I will die on the battlefield or come back victorious. I will never come back defeated. You know? I will always come back victorious, or I will die as a martyr on the battlefield, but I will not come back defeated. So in this way, so many Rajputs died because they died on the battlefield. They didn't run away. They were not cowards. They were very strong people. And because of that, how so many were killed. They went in very close to the enemies and died, but they never came back defeated. So these were the two qualities of Rajputs. One was whatever they said, they would do it. They would never go against their promise. And the second was they never came back defeated. When they would go on the battlefield, the wife would put on their forehead the tilak of victory and say, come back defeated. But don't show your face if you are defeated. Come back victorious, and don't show your face if you are defeated. So they went with that valor, with that bravery. So the story goes that how somebody told that person in his ear, look, so and so, you are a Rajput. You can never be defeated. Your father was brave. He was always victorious. Your grandfather was always victorious. Your great-grandfather was always victorious, you know, and so on. All about his family, the victorious ones on his family. See, which family you belong to, which clan you belong to, you cannot be defeated. You have made a promise and you have to keep up to this promise. And you know, he kept on saying all this in his ear. And this man, he got the strength. Yes, I am a Rajput. I am always victorious. I can never be defeated. And I will do it. I will do it. So he was told, you will do it. You'll do it. You'll do it. And all of a sudden he got so much strength that he hit the rock with one stroke and the rock broke into two pieces. So that king asked him, what did he tell you? So this is what he told. Now this is called mantra. This is how that mantra worked, the magic mantra. Because it went through his ears and it went into his soul. And that's what he was thinking all the time. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And the strength came from inside. The strength which was actually sleeping in him. Because internal strength is quite different from external strength. Externally, somebody may be very strong, but he may not be very strong emotionally also. One has to be emotionally also very strong, not just physically strong. I remember once somebody played a trick. There were two wrestlers. They were supposed to fight and wrestle. And what happened was that somebody wanted to cheat one of them. And what he did, when they were entering the arena of wrestling, somebody just told that one of the wrestlers that your son has met with an accident. Now how could he go to know what happened to his son, how he has met with an accident, because thousands of people were watching them and they were supposed to wrestle. And when he heard this news, you can understand what must have happened. He was thinking of his son. What must have happened? Hope he's not died. And he lost the wrestling. Why he lost? Because emotionally he became upset. Although physically he was very strong. So one needs to be strong emotionally too in order to win, not just physically strong. And that emotional side is in our thoughts, in our feelings, in our attitude and so on. And therefore Baba says that is what you have to make strong. And how will you do that? By having that awareness. And that's why Dadi Janaki keeps on reminding us. Three times, Om Shanti. Who am I? Whose am I? One is here, the second is upwards, and the third is the cycle also. You can give third in different ways. From where have I come? Or how I have gone through the cycle. And therefore when Baba says, think of the five forms of the soul. The soul in the soul world, that's also a very, very strong stage. When the soul is in the soul world, as a seed, as a point of light, completely detached from anything of this physical world, an essence form, an embodiment of all virtues, that's my original form. And then I come down as a deity. In that deity stage also, I'm so pure, so holy, so virtuous, so contented. And Baba says, remember that also. And then when I come in copper age, I don't think that, this is the way I fell, came into the influence of Maya. But actually, what I'm thinking in copper age, I become a worship-worthy soul. This is the positive side of it. I'm a worship-worthy soul because I've descended. And as an ancestral soul, I'm a worship-worthy soul. And the worship-worthy souls are worshipped in temples. And then we come to the confluence age. I'm a Brahmin soul, a direct heir of Brahma, the greatest creation of God, a true Brahmin, the server of humanity, all these good qualities of Brahmins. And then I become an angel. All the qualities of an angel are in me. So these five forms of every soul, the seed stage in the soul world, the deity stage, the worship-worthy stage, the Brahmin stage and the angel stage, all these are very beautiful stages of the soul. So when I'm churning on this, I can feel the depth of my inner strength. And when Baba praises the children, he gives us so many titles. Again, Baba says, create those thoughts in you. These titles, they are yours. You are them. And when I am aware of these titles, immediately my inner strength will grow. And therefore, as you think, so shall you become. You know, whenever we sit in meditation, we always say, tell yourself, I am a pure soul. I am a loving soul. I am a powerful soul. Say this to yourself and you will become powerful. But you know, some people, they say, but sister, when I'm saying I'm a peaceful soul, I'm a loving soul, I'm a powerful soul, but actually I'm not like that. I'm too weak. I'm too peaceless. I am not at all happy. How can I say that I'm a peaceful soul, I'm a powerful soul, I'm a pure soul? I'm not pure. I don't think I'm pure. Then we say, okay, supposing you say you're not pure, you're not peaceful, how will you become peaceful? How will you become? You can't become peaceful by saying I'm not peaceful. You can become peaceful by saying that you are peaceful. Because as you think, that's how what you'll become. So if you think you are peaceless, then you'll never become peaceful. Because all in the mind. You don't have to get peace from anywhere outside. That's your original nature. So you have to awaken that nature of yours which is in you, but it is sleeping. And that's how we awaken through meditation. And that's why it is said, you know, what is meditation? Meditation is the manifestation of perfection within. Every soul in its original nature is perfect. And when you manifest that through your thoughts, through your feelings, through your attitude, through your actions, well, that's what you become then. And therefore, this mantra acts like a magical mantra where I become not only aware of who am I, but I become the embodiment of that. I realize that within me, in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions. Saying in words is only namesake, but actually it has to be inside me. I don't have to look for peace outside. It is my own nature. So how do I reach my own nature? By going into silence. This is why Baba said, the dance of silence. The dance of silence means, internally I'm becoming aware of myself as a peaceful soul. So when I'm peaceful within, I'm enjoying that dance of silence within. Even if I come in words, my words also will be of silence. How can I get angry? Anger is not a dance of silence. So not that I don't come in words, I do come in words, but I still am dancing the dance of silence. It's the dance of the mind. And then whatever is in my mind will come into words. Whatever is in my words will come into actions too. So that's what is manifested, what is within. So this is called the magical mantra of Om Shanti. Now we need to practice that. And how will you practice it? The more and more you become aware of it first. Not just coming into words, Om Shanti. No. I am a peaceful being. And therefore Baba says, whenever any situation comes, you have to, Om Shanti teaches you to go beyond. When I say Om Shanti, I'm going within. So I'm going within. And Om Shanti also makes me rise above. And we give two examples. One example is of a tortoise. What does a tortoise do? it takes its limbs inside it and becomes like a hard shell, very peaceful. You know, the metabolism of a tortoise is very slow, very slow. The heart beats very, very slowly. Everything is very slow. That is why a tortoise can live for 500 years, you know, 500 years. I remember going to Vietnam. I think it was Vietnam. There I was taken to a place where there was a tortoise 500 years old. He was the father of all tortoises. Only there was news recently that he died after 500 years old. No humans can survive for 500 years. Maximum age could be 100 years or 120 years. In Guinness book it's written 120, 125, but not even deity is okay, 150, but not more than 150, no? But a tortoise can live for 500 years because his heart is not pumping so much. It is in peace. You know, when we are in stress, our heart pumps so much blood. The blood is needed because of stress. But in normal state, the heart is normal. So the more the heart is pumping blood, the more it is breathing heavily, the lesser becomes the lifespan. And therefore Baba teaches us how to withdraw like a tortoise. Any situation, just go within. I am a peaceful soul. See everyone as a peaceful soul. Even if somebody's behavior is not very good, but actually in reality he too is a peaceful soul. He too is the child of the ocean of peace. But he's not aware at this moment. So I don't begin to hate him. I don't begin to curse him. I don't want to take revenge from him. But I feel sorry for him. I feel mercy on him. Because he doesn't realize that he is a peaceful soul. So I learn to go within. But if the situation is too tensed, then I can go beyond, like a bird. What does a bird do? Supposing the bird is seeing a cat coming, a lion coming, a tiger coming, but the bird is not afraid. Why? It will fly. The lion or tiger or leopard or cat, whatever, cannot fly. But the bird can fly. So it has wings. It just flies. So Baba says, you also have to learn to let go. In a second, the bird lets go. You know, he let goes. How he lets goes? By just removing his claws. If he's holding the twig or the plant or the tree, the branch too tightly, he can't fly, although he has wings. So if we are holding on to something, we are not letting go. And the result is we become stressed. So let go. How do I let go? Two ways to let go. One, let go is nothing belongs to me. Everything of this world is so temporary. I didn't bring with me and I will not take with me. So I'm able to let go. And the second way to let go is let God take that responsibility. So we say let go and let God. Just add the Baba. You take the responsibility. Baba, you take it. Maybe it's difficult for me. But Baba takes the responsibility. He takes the hold. And how matters become so easy. The situation eases so beautifully. Because we have let gone. Nothing is mine. Baba, you take care. So the moment we say that, immediately we are able to overcome that situation without really becoming tensed. And in this way, the magic mantra of Om Shanti works. Om Shanti, I am a peaceful soul. I am the child of the ocean of peace. I belong to the abode of peace. Om Shanti. Let go and let God. And this magical mantra works so beautifully that even if it's a very hard, very difficult situation, it can become very easy, because we did not hold on to it. And if we are able to do that, we can really finish our karmic accounts, which are 63 births, old karmic accounts, which we are supposed to settle in this one birth, otherwise we will be punished for that. We can't take our karmic accounts with us to Paramdham. We have to finish them here. We have to go back free. And in order to go back free, we have to let go. We have to let go. We have to let go. There's another interesting story on this. That once somebody told his, a disciple told his guru, that Guruji, I want to get an experience of God. I want to get an experience of God. How will I get experience of God? So the guru told him, okay, I'll take you to the top of the mountain. You come with me and there you will experience God. And he gave him very far, you know, big five stones, big stones. And he told him that carry these with you. Carry these stones with you and reach the top. And there you'll get the vision of God. So he carried those stones, and then as he was moving up, those stones were heavy, they were not light. So he told the Guru, Guru, I'm tired, these stones are so heavy, I can't take them. So the Guru said, okay, throw one away. And he had only four. They were a little lighter, but still they were heavy. And then again they went up. He said, Guruji, I can't hold, they're too heavy. He said, then the Guru said, okay, throw another one. So he threw the other one, only three remained. Then they went further ahead, Guruji, too heavy, I can't hold these stones. Guru said, okay, throw another one. So only two left. And then as they went higher, he said, Guruji, too heavy, I can't. The Guru said, okay, throw another one. So only one left. And at the end, you know, and still they were rising and rising. And he said, Guruji, even this one stone is very heavy. Guru said, okay, throw that also. And as he threw, he reached the top. He said, oh, I feel so light, so light, so light. Then he said, Guru, but how do I meet God? And the Guru said, that is the method. First you have to throw all your stones. If you want to meet God, if you want to have the experience of God, this lightness is felt. Internal cleanliness is felt. Internal experience of meeting God is there. It's all in the mind. And that feeling of lightness and peacefulness and whatever we are aiming in life is possible when I'm able to throw all the heaviness, the weight which I'm carrying of too many bondages, too many attractions. So how do I give up? Again, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. I tell this to myself and I become lighter and lighter and lighter. So it's not merely in words, it is much to do by becoming the embodiment of it. Okay? So let us experience this for some time. Om Shanti. And as we experience it, we become very light. We are able to throw away all the heaviness which we are carrying. So let us sit in silence and enjoy the dance of the mind. by experiencing the peace within. I go deep within myself. I renounce the consciousness of my and mine. I and mine. The physical consciousness of I and mine is renounced. The spiritual consciousness is accepted. I am a soul. I am peaceful. I am loving. I am blissful. Nothing of this old world belongs to me. This physical body The bodily beings bodily objects bodily relationships are all part of the physical world. But I belong to the spiritual world, the world of silence. I belong to the ocean of peace. My Supreme Father, I belong to the Supreme Abode, the Abode of Peace. I'm so light. I'm double light. Light in form and light in weight. Only a point. Eternal, immortal, imperishable. I was never born, and I will never die. I existed even before the body was born, and I will continue to exist even after the body perishes. This body, this life, is only one step of my journey. I have to now return home. I came in a pure state, and I have to go back in the same pure state. I am a pure soul. The child of the ocean of purity. How pure I am. Completely pure. Complete and perfect in purity. I now know my true self. In a second, I go beyond any pulls. I'm totally detached. I'm surrounded by light all around me. I am in the soul world, free from all bondages, experiencing true freedom. Body, bodily beings, bodily objects, free from everything. I now know my true self. I am under the canopy of my Supreme Father. I feel His protection. Mine is one Shiv Baba and none other. Sweetest Baba, all my relationships are with you. In your company, I experience complete solace and comfort. Thank you, Baba, for all what you have given to me. I am now an awakened soul, a powerful soul, I am now in my original state of the seed, the essence of all virtues.